As Candy was reading that, it said that we'll shine. In that day, when He crowns us, we're going to shine like the firmament. Those who turn those to righteousness, it said, because of that, will shine like the sun. We're going to have to do that again. You're going to have to get somebody up here. Because see, here's the deal. You don't really know who you're standing by until you get there. Do you know that there's a coronation day? Not only when we crown Him, but He crowns us. And in all reality, it's not too far-fetched. It's not a fairy tale like the night that is christened. There's many knights and many ladies and many princesses in here this morning. You know, the book of Revelation says that He has a name. Now get this. As far as I understand, He has a name for you that no other man knows. You may not call me Bronk in heaven. I may be Sir such and such. But the Word says in the book of Revelation that He has a name that He will give you that no man knows. There will be many Lady so-and-so, Sir Prince so-and-so. He's the Prince of Princes. He's the Prince of Princes. He's the King of Kings. And He's the Lord of Lords. But we'll reign with Him as Lords. And He'll be that Lord that we'll crown. But He'll turn right around and give us a name. And He'll name you Sir this and Lady this. And you'll carry that glory throughout all of heaven and throughout all eternity. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. All you see here right now is chinks in the armor while somebody's trying to while away the hours and fight and move forward. And all you see sometimes and judge them sometimes real rough because you see a chink in their armor. And you think that's what they're composed of. But He looks beyond that and says, that is My knight in shining armor. They're coming forth as true gold. And a lot of people are going to be shocked the day that I stand up before My Father and call them the name that I chose to call them. Hallelujah. The glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise You, Jesus. Praise You, Jesus. We've already had church. We can hug and go home now. I feel so edified now. I could float on that the rest of the day. What are you? I'm Sir Amakali Revivalist. You're the one that took that hemisphere. Yes, and a lot of other people with me. This lady here and this. Yes. Sir Galahad.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lady Candy. But she'll have another name. Billions of people born, and the mind of God makes up a name for every single one of them. He said, your mom and daddy gave you this name. This daddy wants to give you another one. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that amazing? I think you need to grab somebody or gently know that you're in the presence of a lord or a lady or a princess. And ask them, can you walk them down and stand before our Lord of Lords?
Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory! Woo! Hey, Matt, since we're on that, could you find Terry's, you're the glory and the lifter of my head? Psalms 3 was this. I love it. This was Psalms 3, what we're about to sing. If it is still around. You know, when you're in a trial, part of the trial is coming out of it is coming out knowing how much God loves you. That's the biggest part of it. And as long as the enemy can keep you in a cocoon of you deserve this, you'll let circumstances and the love of God that wants to get over to you spill over to you. You'll let it eat at you, thinking you deserve to own some part of what the devil's beating you up with. Now, the story is Psalms 3. Every psalm was written out of a situation or a circumstance. Most of them. Absalom is invading one side of the city. David's men, what mighty men he had, were gathering him up and ushering him out of the city. It was a great conspiracy. His own son was taking over with a marching army, thousands. And David's counselor had conspired with Absalom. And on this day, this is not now. This is not David the giant killer. This is not the 30-year-old man who took the kingdom in Hebron and was coronated. This is an older, gray-headed David with many years between him and the day of his coronation. A king should go out in splendor. They should sing his praises. And yet, the Bible tells us that they crossed him, his wives, and his little ones. And what little army he had, they were still trying to gather. They were running through the kingdom. Running through the kingdom, trying to gather up. What army would stand with David? The Bible says that they crossed the brook. He was fleeing for his life, and the people were weeping. And they crossed. He was barefooted. It was very explicit. He was barefooted. He crossed the Kidron Brook, which was the same path, the exact same path that Jesus took the night he was betrayed. And somebody else was betraying him. And all of this happening. Now this is past glory days. And this gray-headed king is walking past. And then Saul's family comes out and is cursing him and telling him, "You deserve what you're getting today. You took the kingdom from my family. Now your family's taking it from you. You deserve it. And don't you know that Satan was riding him hard. Riding him hard. Solomon was one of them little ones crossing the brook with him. And Satan had to have been saying, "You see that? That's the fruit of an act of adultery right there. That's the man you killed. You deserve this. God is not for you. God has forsaken you. And your enemies will rejoice over you." Well, the short of the long is this. God, he was still God's anointed. And God wasn't holding his trespasses against him. The enemy will tell you you're in what you're in because of the failures of your past. Wrong marriage or marriage has gone bad. Wrong this, wrong that. Shouldn't have done this, done that. You're not going to excel to the place of where you could have been or where you should be. Or God is somehow holding just a little teeny bit of a grudge against you. David went up to the top of the Mount Olive. And his mighty men, some of them were going back into the city. The kingdom was in an uproar. And the people wept. And history says says, this is where he penned, you're the glory and the lifter of my head. Thousands may accuse me. It's one thing to go through a trial when you feel like you're lily white. Most people never feel that way in a trial. They feel like the devil's telling them, you deserve part of this. Guess what? Even if you did, he's the glory and the lifter of your head. Who got righteous before you got righteous? Who redeemed themselves before his blood is the one who picked you up out of every circumstance? Hallelujah. I preached a good sermon on that. I don't know if we ever have the song. Okay. Satan was trying to kill little Solomon because the word says it was prophesied through your seed, through your loins will the Messiah come. He was had to come through Solomon. Had to come through him. Absalom was going to put the knife to Solomon, his younger brother. All of them. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Of course, David was reinstated and sat back on his throne. Lived out his days in peace. Hallelujah. Praise God. The biggest thing the enemy has against you is accusation. You know what you'll do when you start hearing his voice? You'll subconsciously, you don't even know you're doing it. When you're hearing accusation about you, you won't even mean to, but you'll subconsciously start accusing others. You'll find out that there's so many faults around you. Anytime I ever started getting real close to God, I found out he pretty much left everybody else alone and just worked on me and him. And I thought that he was using me as a policeman, and I could see other people's faults, and I realized that it was just another step of his compassion and love that I needed to step into. I'm getting real close to him so I can see the faults of my brethren. Keep getting closer. You'll go blind. You'll go blind. And all you'll see is him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Pastor, I can get with you and tell you what so-and-so's doing. Who's this and that and the other? Die. You mean those things, stuff's not... They used to put those blinders on those old horses and go down the cobblestone streets. You know, they could see in front of them, they just couldn't see the peripheral. I know sometimes stuff exists. I just don't have the time to get involved in it. Unless it comes to me like, can you help? And then, yes, I can help. But otherwise, I've asked him, make me blind until you say something. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. We've already had a good time. These two guys are good-looking guys, aren't they? Now, Otto thinks I'm going to say something about their shirts being exactly the same. Except that long sleeve versus short sleeve. What you got to stand here? No. Otto had me tickled this morning. He goes, yeah, we were like two ladies. I called him this morning and said, how are you dressing this morning? And they didn't do that. See, you'll learn never to say anything in front of me. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand up and give somebody a great big hug? Hallelujah. David came up in the forest and was just reminding me something Yolanda had to, you can hold that. I was in her shop getting a haircut Friday, and she introduced me to a lady that was in her chair before I got up, and she said, "I'm inviting this lady to church." I said, "Wonderful." And the lady smiled, and so she got finished and left, and her husband was waiting for her in the parking lot. And in just a moment, it was a few minutes, I guess, because I thought she'd already been gone, because Yolanda and I started engaged in conversation. And so she came back in weeping, and her son had taken a horrible fall and works here in Immokalee, does he?
Well, he works out.
So you can tell it from that point on, and she asked us to pray.
He was fueling, getting fuel from the bulk station, and apparently diesel spilt on the top flight of the stairs, and he slipped and fell all the way down on his back. And so when the paramedics got to him, he was in excruciating pain and couldn't move. So they took him to the hospital at that time, and she was still at the salon, had no knowledge of any of this happening. So when she left outside to the parking lot, that's when her husband gave her the news, and she got out of the vehicle. She said something had drawn her to come back into the salon and ask for prayer. She said, "Yolanda, can
Hallelujah,
you please
Jesus.
Pray for me?" She goes, "I just have the most." She was weeping, just sobbing, just so.
Hallelujah.
So Karen says, "We have a pastor right here."
That's right.
So
did.
We immediately got in a circle. And pastor prayed, and so she left, and she said, "I'll call you later, Yolanda, with the news." I said, "Okay." Well, she called me back at 1:15, and she goes, "Yolanda," she said, "the doctor sent him home." She goes, "He actually got." She says, "My son said, Mom, something just weird happened. I was in excruciating pain. I couldn't move."
Hallelujah, Jesus.
She goes, "And all of a sudden,
praise you, Father.
No pain, and I could move."
Hallelujah,
so she
Jesus.
Said, "Son, we were praying for you at the salon, Yolanda and her pastor. So it had to have been that." He said, "Well, I don't know what it was, but it was wonderful." And the doctor said, "You know, we can't find no injuries."
Hallelujah.
No
Jesus.
Injuries at all on
the
back.
Hallelujah. Praise
you,
Jesus.
So the doctor, he says, "Doctor, I am pain free." He goes, "Okay, get up and go home." He actually was moving. He could walk because he wasn't walking.
Hallelujah.
It was just, she said, it was just wonderful.
Seemed like we prayed when we were praying that it was something like, God, that it touches him now, he knows.
Mm-hmm.
That he'll know.
Yes, he knows now.
He knows.
I mean, he didn't know what the reason was
no.
until his mother got there.
Hallelujah.
And said, "We prayed for you at Yolanda Salon."
Praise God.
So he knows.
Amen. All
yes.
the glory to
Thank
God.
You.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks, David, for reminding us about that. That's good. Hallelujah. One more time, why don't you just lift those hands, because all the glory belongs to the one above. Father, we give you all the praise. All of it belongs to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The glory. Well, if Miss Callie's not here to sing, Marty's not here to sing, let's see. I tried to get Miss Candy. Oh, Homer's not here to sing. Marsha, you got anything? All right, get ready. Hallelujah. Miss Callie, it's her birthday this past week, and it was Granddaddy's on the same day. He turned and he called, and while I'm thinking of it, it'll be this Thursday night. It's usually on Tuesdays, but he asked me to announce it to the congregation, the Cowboys for Christ here in Felda, 7:00 on this Thursday, because it's not changing on all Thursdays, But they had something special group, I think a singing group or somebody coming in. So, Dee Dee Jimenez, was it your birthday too? Yes, it was. The same day as Granddaddy's. Hallelujah. He wanted us to pray for him. He wasn't doing real well this morning. So we'll just lift him up. Father, in Jesus' name, whatever this flu bug is or whatever it is that's invaded his body, we lift him up. Release your life and grace to him. Father, we speak that by your stripes, his stripes, we're made whole. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And what? Miss Peggy's preaching? Teaching? Thirsty? Really? I didn't know that. That'll be great. Hallelujah. Okay. So everybody's welcome to come this Thursday, and it's at the Felda Community Center. Okay. Wonderful. That's good. So happy birthday to Dee Dee and anybody else. Sometimes we'll do that. Why don't you start doing it all the time? Because we don't do anything normal. The first time you start doing that, then when you forget, the week that you forget because the Spirit took you out, somebody will come and say, it was my birthday and I'm not coming back. And, oh, God. I wish we wouldn't. Just remember, anything you start can and will usually haunt you. It's like Tar Baby. When you put that force against it, you get both hands stuck, and then you put the feet in, and it's a mess after a while. And you have to tell everybody, look, you're here. You must have been born. God bless you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Whatever day you were born, happy birthday to you. I'd just rather go to a church when you stepped in, the love bowled you over. And I'm not against doing that. That's fine. That is. I don't want to make. That's fine. It's just that our call is to agape, to peace. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. Woo, that's good. Marsha's mom and dad, they'll be going back this week. When do they leave? Wednesday. So this will be the last time I see you right now? Oh, no.
I just have to do this. I was hoping my dad would have been here this morning, too, but he wasn't able to be here. But I know by the time we get home, he's just all healed up.
Amen.
Doing just fine. Got lots of energy and
yes.
Just keep on going.
Yes.
But Mom and Dad's going to be married 60 years this year, and Dad's going to be 80. So, Mother, come up here with me just a minute.
Yes, this deserves.
You know, the Bible says give honor to where
yes,
honor
it does.
Is due. And I have a great set of parents. And I'm so glad that I went to church from the time I was 2 weeks old till here I am now.
Hallelujah.
And I just thank God because we can have a good heritage that we can just keep going on and keep passing it on from generation to generation. You got a missionary girl that goes to Latvia or wherever.
Hallelujah.
And many other grandchildren and great-grandchildren and... But I just wanted to honor them today because they're a blessing.
Lead us in. Don's not here to hear it, but happy anniversary. Okay.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Don and Cressy. Happy anniversary to you.
Would you like to say anything? Would you like to say something?
set his blessings on each one. Sorry that he wasn't able to be here today. But we love all of you, and thank you for your praise and everything.
Hallelujah. A number of years ago, Marcia, you have to help me out with this, but her mom came here and got filled with the Spirit, with an aunt, too, at the same service, right? How long ago has that been? 4, 5, 6? Man. Yes, it does. So she got filled, and then we have been praying for Don to get filled, and Rex had been working with him, and Marcia, and right up here, just a few weeks ago, they brought him down here saying, "We got to get Dad filled with the Holy Ghost." And he's, I'll tell you, that Sunday morning, he got filled. Gary got filled right over here. And man, Don, just hallelujah. Just going at it. Hallelujah. Praise God. I glorify you, Father. Thank you for it, Jesus. The Word says they'll still bear fruit in their old age. Fat and flourishing. Not this fat. Fat with the anointing. Hallelujah. The other's okay too. He said, not condemning that. Not going there. I better not go there. Oh, hallelujah. He grew the tree. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him. Who? The Logos. All things were made by Him. He came into His own. His own received Him not, the Jewish nation. Colossians says all things were. He is the firstborn. And all things were made by Him and for Him. And by Him all things consist. All things consist. It's specifically talking about He was the firstborn of every creature, it says. It wasn't talking about there. It goes on to say, you'll know what it's saying, whether it be thrones, dominions, things visible, invisible. He was, meaning He was the prototype. All things were made, the next verse, made by Him and for Him. God the Father was an administrator, kind of planner in the Godhead. How they chose this was all in one mind and one accord. You and I can't hardly even conceive. It wasn't one guessed it and the other one said okay. It was all contrived at one moment in time, and they all planned all of humanity. They knew the fall, and one of them had to step up to the plate. And how that was chosen and went down, mysteries that we'll know. But we do know this. The second member of the Godhead, as we call Him, the Lamb, the Logos, all things were made by Him and for Him. And by Him all things consist, meaning it came out of His being. The stars, the planets, now God the Father. He may have been the one who spoke it in existence, but how? How it all came down was out of the very being of the core of the Logos. Everything was created. The earth that we live on. The dust that we were created out of. The tree that hung Him. He created it. Now He did not have a beginning. But He did have a beginning in His humanity. $15, $30, $50 word. Anthropomorphism. It is something that describes to God earthly or human qualities by which you can wrap your mind around and have an identity with. The anthropomorphism of God is this. Jehovah God. When you say God, I love you. It's the pluralistic. You look at it in the Hebrew, it's pluralistic. It really means God as one God. I love you. In totality, Godhead, I love you. But you say Father. Now, long before we existed in the eons of ages, way back, before we had a beginning, this earth had a beginning. In fact, all you can do is accept it by faith, because to us, everything has a beginning. Just to say, okay, this being that I serve never started. It's like he's like a circle. He just never started out of anything. He always was. And it's something that has to be conducive by the new nature that pulls you in and helps you to just rest in that. Otherwise, you can't figure it out. Your brain would turn to jelly and it pour out your left ear if you tried to figure it all out. But in this anthropomorphism, the one that we call Father, that was the God of the Jews, the mighty Jehovah, he took on the role of administrator of our planet. The Son, as we know him, the Son was not Son then. He was the Logos. Jehovah was Father, that has become Father to us. He wasn't Father in eons ago. There was no little boy running around growing up in heaven saying, "That's my son, he's growing up." The Logos, and the Holy Spirit, and Jehovah were co-equal. There's nine attributes. And in essence, they are co-equal. What one thinks, the other thinks. Full agape. Full immutability means they can't be changed. Sovereign. Sovereign agape. The mutability is that they can't be changed. They are who they are and they'll always be who they are. Omnipresent. Omniscience, meaning they know everything. Omnipotent, having all power. Full agape. Full love. What one thinks, the other one thinks. In the eons of ages, the anthropomorphism is this. The Father, Jehovah, took on the role of the Father so you could understand. The mighty Logos, he said, "I'll go and I'll step down and be born of a woman." Now the Holy Spirit, there is no anthropomorphism with him. He is Spirit. That's what he's always been. That's always who will always be. He didn't have to change his role. But when you look up and say, "Father," he now is your Father because you've been birthed by the Holy Spirit. And he's the one that sent him. So now, and Jesus, he was the mighty Logos, co-equal. When you look at the Hebrew, God means that they stood toe-to-toe, eyebrow to eyebrow, face-to-face, co-equal, none diminished. Not this one in his humanity, he had a beginning. But in his deity, this mighty Logos is co-equal with mighty Jehovah. So is the Holy Spirit. There wasn't a son growing up and, "Oh, you'll disappear and go into a woman." No, he was the mighty Logos and he said, "Okay, I created all things. I created all things. But I will forever change my form and I will pour myself into the seat of my authority will be now in a human body called Christ." And here's the mystery of Christ in you. Full man and full God. Hallelujah. What a beautiful mystery. What a wonderful. He came, gave himself. Peter said, "Great is the mystery of godliness." God in the flesh. God in the flesh. God who made the universe could pour himself into flesh and actually wrap himself around chromosome to chromosome. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. She's a young virgin. she's got all these eggs, and she's from the lineage of David. And so his flesh is going to be birthed. His flesh is just like our flesh. It could sin. It could lust. It had a beginning. It could get sick. His flesh could get sick. I'll bet you. Just for a split second, scratchy throats and sniffles and any kinds of anything that ever comes at you would come at him at times. But he'd just revert right back into his deity? No. He whipped the devil on the same line that you and I have to whip him. The born again nature. Now, when it says in him was life, and the life was the light of men, it's not talking about the Logos was that light. It's talking about when Mary conceived, here comes the Holy Spirit. Gabriel says, you're going to receive at a certain season. So God picks out an egg, touches that egg. It doesn't have to have a man's seed. It doesn't. It's not born from above. Had a man touched her and anointed that seed, it would not have been pure, holy. It had sin in it. But here's the Holy Spirit. He touches that egg, and that egg, the best you can understand it, is the cloning process that man's come up with. That egg, without stimulation from man, just stimulated by God, just begins to multiply. So this flesh is being built, it says, is made of a woman. But then here, the moment that flesh, here's the unique thing about who Jesus Christ is. He's the most unique creature, and I say it respectably, in the universe. God the Father, He took on the word Father, the name Father, as an anthropomorphism, and He says, okay, you can treat me like Dad, and I am your Dad. And this is the Lamb. He's pouring Himself into it. But did you know, just like when your mom and daddy came together, this is why abortion is wrong. If there was some point where a spirit wasn't involved, then it may or may not be sin to abort. But the moment those two eggs, I mean not a split, not just a millimeters of seconds later, but through the law of Genesis, the moment those two seeds meet, the moment, and begin to, one cell goes into two cells. I mean, while it's splitting, in the meeting of it, the little spirit doesn't come from there. It starts there in the womb. And the spirit multiplies at the same rate of the flesh. There's two cells of flesh. There's three cells of spirit, four cells, five cells. It's growing in that womb. Well, the life that came from above was the same life that when God breathed into Adam. We think of breath. God doesn't breathe. I mean, in the sense that we think of breathing, I mean, you think God who created oxygen has to have oxygen to... Think he has lungs? No. He created the stuff that we need to live. He didn't blow like that. What he breathed was part of himself into Adam. And the moment it came into that clay, then it took on itself a human nature, which was the spirit. It became spirit. It became a human spirit. It wasn't divine. It was a human spirit because it lived in a body. The life that came from the Father was the life of the human spirit. And here's the miracle of all miracles. Here's the miracle of all miracles. The life that came from Him, or the life that was given to Christ, it was separate from the fall. Every baby that had multiplied, every one cell that had gone to two cell, at the same rate that the body had capitulated or grown, was the same rate the spirit had grown. But every little spirit had death working in it. The beauty of the Holy Ghost was this. He separated the DNA. And as the body grew, immediately from above was the Spirit, that born again, life filled, same as you've got, Spirit that went into that egg. And as he grew in body, he grew in spirit. But his spirit was not a dead spirit. Because you can't take a dead Savior, one that's got sin in it. That's why Buddha, Hare Krishna, any of them, you can't take a spiritually dead gene pool and save a human race. It has to be like the first Adam. The first Adam had no sin in his spirit until he fell. This last Adam, which is my Savior, my Lord, my friend, and my God. The moment the cellular reproduction process took place, it was separated from all sin, and he received a nature, had a nature that was had life in it. God breathed. That's how he became his Father. He wasn't his Father as in eons ago. God always, the Logos, the one that we call Jesus, he always existed in his deity. But he had a beginning in his humanity. And guess what? When he grew up to be a little puppy and then a teenager, he didn't sin in between because he kept living out of that new nature. And every time a sniffle would come or every time a thought would come about, she's cute. That's as far as he took it. She's cute. She was going to make somebody, that little virgin's going to make somebody a good wife one day. And she's pretty. Oh yeah, she is. Yeah, I created her. The other part of me created her. But she's going to mama some good babies one day. But I'm on assignment. My body's on assignment from above. Hallelujah. I will walk through this life sinless. Hallelujah. And I'll beat it not through my deity. I'll beat it through my born again humanity. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory. Those are the mysteries of Christ in you. The hope of glory. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And to know that he went in front of me with a nature just like I've got. If he did it with something else, then I'm at a standstill. Something may come to me that he beat that I can't beat because of who I am. I can beat it. I'm not deity. But I can beat it the same way he beat it. Through the new nature. Hallelujah. Oh, I worship you, Father. I glorify you. I worship you and give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, praying in tongues does a lot, doesn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Where is our basket lady? She's not a basket case. She's a basket lady. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lamb. All things were made by Him and for Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So you get a chance to give these millions. Hallelujah. And see Immokalee saved. I want to thank you for all your gifts. And all your giving and everything that Christ is doing in you. Hallelujah. So why don't you ask him two ways. As a man purposes in his heart or hearing, just hears. Hallelujah. So Father, right now, thank you. Thank you for where you're taking us. Immokalee is in revival. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, the demoniacs are set free, the maimed are made whole. Thousands and thousands are born again in this revival. Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. Now, as far as I know, this is it. but not it forever. No, I mean it for the moment. And Miss Amber Deshay is going to come and close this service out and bless you and bless this offering to the point to where she's going to go places that angels fear to trod. She's going to get whatever you've got. Hallelujah. Would you stand? And then when you bring this down, you can hug each other again. I think we had that once, but you know. So bless this offering, Amber, and bless us the day. Hallelujah.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service. And we thank you, God, that you are sovereign and you're unchanging. And it's in that we thank you for it so much, Father. And I just ask that you bless each and every person as they give this morning. And we can't wait till next Sunday to do it all over again. In Jesus' name, amen.